Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. We all know customers want deliveries faster than ever. Next day, same day, and sometimes even in hours. But behind the scenes, speed often comes at a cost. Rust fulfillment can mean half-empty trucks, fragmented shipments, and a growing carbon footprint that really clashes with today's sustainability goals. So on this episode, I'm joined by Andy Lockhart, Director of Strategic Engagement at Von der Lande Industries in the U.S., Cameron Stout, Senior Director of Partnerships at PackSize, and Sierra Plotty, Business Manager of Sitma Machinery USA. And together, we're going to dig into what greener delivery models actually look like in practice, how automation is reshaping the space, and which sustainability metrics truly matter when it comes to speed and performance. Andy, I'm going to start with you. Can you tell me how organizations today are balancing the pressure to deliver faster with the need to operate sustainably?
It's an interesting sort of problem, really, because you've got a lot of things to improve the sustainability, like packaging and how you do your last mile. Do you consolidate deliveries? Because obviously, with things like the e-com boom, that's one of the things that we've developed, which is great for all of us getting our packages every other day. But from a sustainability perspective, of course, that sort of destroys things a bit because you're more packaging material. So optimizing your packaging material, changing your material, optimizing your route planning so you're using less. And then, of course, things like electric vehicles. And some of those you might have seen, those little things that go around delivering food in urban areas, the little box on wheels, your cooler on wheels, those sort of things, help with sustainability because obviously they're electric powered rather than using fossil fuels.
So you mentioned electric vehicles. Can we talk about how businesses today are experimenting with those greener delivery models while still meeting customer expectations? Cameron, can you take this one? And then Andy, you can jump back in with your thoughts too, please.
Amazon's one, right? Anyone that saved a package from them, you would see that it's coming in a Rivian truck most of the time. So yeah, I think there's some pretty interesting things going on around just the EV diesel, which certainly can help. Also, by thinking about how you're packaging things to your customers, if you can fit more packages onto a truck, it requires less trucks. And in turn, that's where we have our biggest carbon footprint reduction for our customers.
Well, I think, obviously, things you've already seen the delivery companies using electric vehicles. So that's obviously still maintaining that sort of thing. Inside the warehouse, you're seeing some of the packaging things going on where rather than you having this size thing in this size box, you're getting a box that fits around the item that you ordered, as to say so. Those things are already working. It's just a case of more investments, more capital for these companies to start spending. But I think you're definitely seeing the customer demand grow to have that sort of thing.
It really is clear automation has advanced how we tackle the sustainability issue. Sierra and Cameron, can you share more about your experience with automation and packaging? How has it changed in the last few years?
Yeah, so with new automation, it's actually a lot easier for companies to strike that balance between speed and delivery and sustainability. With things like automated packaging, you can have sustainable materials in your packaging, but you can also deliver at a very high speed, and you can be net neutral at times with your plastic, depending on your original methods. So we work with companies that specifically do packaging and shipping, so e-commerce applications, where they can send all of their items to our system. We can wrap it in paper and send it out the building without them touching it again. And so they're able to get it to their customers a lot faster, but with sustainable materials while saving money.
There's enough technology out there, even products that PackSize provides, for example, that allow you to move at a quick rate and hit the throughput that you need and meet your customers' needs, but also doing it in a sustainable way. I mean, typically when you are shipping in a more sustainable fashion, specifically, say right-sized boxes, for example, you will save money on each shipment. So it's actually good for you, good for the environment, good for your customers.
Cameron, you have experience in this area, seeing what PackSize provides with right-sized packaging. So how does this sustainable method contribute to the delivery speed that organizations are looking for?
It wasn't always the case. A lot of the machines that existed, say, 5-6 years ago, they weren't fast enough to keep up. So we weren't in some of these high velocity kind of environments, but that has since shifted just with more focus on e-commerce specific or just omni-channel in general. The machines have just gotten much quicker. You're seeing them integrated with a lot of other warehouse technology that is helping speed up the picking side. And now we kind of have the horses to match on the packing side.
And what other areas are you seeing sustainability and speed come together today? I know local sourcing is coming up a lot in these types of conversations. So how do local sourcing strategies reduce risk while also improving sustainability outcomes?
There's a couple different ways. I think overall, you have to think about how far things need to travel to get to you, right? Because things just don't magically grow wings and fly to you. They've got to get there somehow. And usually that is where most of the carbon is used or put into the environment through a truck or, if it's coming from overseas, right? It's like you've got a ship that it needs to come over a container, whatever it might be. So I think it's just kind of the same thing. It's reduce how long that final leg is from the producer just over to you in general. I think also distributors, they're bringing in things in bulk rather than a lot of smaller runs, and they're very close to their end users, and they obviously can provide a quality service too, where it's just a short run down the road or within 50 miles or something like that.
Yeah, that is true. And I want to add on to that, how are strategies like micro-fulfillment helping bridge the gap between speed and sustainability? Sierra, can you explain?
Similar to local sourcing, but on the other end, micro-fulfillment gets you closer to your end consumer. And so you're able to reduce the emissions, you're able to reduce your time from your DC, your warehouse to the consumer. And with that, you have that speed, but you also have the sustainability, whether it's from emissions or if you have automation in your micro-fulfillment. So you're able to quickly get products through those smaller facilities and to the customer much faster, much more sustainable.
And how is automation helping in micro-fulfillment centers? Andy, can you take this one?
So micro-fulfillment is where you're really putting some automation in a store. So today, we can all go buy stuff. We can go to the store and buy stuff, or you can order online and you do pick up at store, or you can order online and they'll deliver to you. All of those require associates in that store to walk around the store and pick whatever you do. So you've all been to a grocery store where there's people walking around with these big carts of loads of totes on them. Some of those are getting pretty busy and you have to sort of dodge the cars, but they're going around picking. When you put micro-fulfillment in, you're putting some automation in, so you're putting some of what they're going to pick is put into the automation, and therefore all that gets picked out of the automation, so there's less people walking around the store. You could fulfill orders quicker because automation is going to be able to pull all the stuff together really quickly because it's already in there, and I don't have to walk from one end of a store to another because, stores are laid out to make sure that you have to go through the whole store. So, the bread and the milk are not next to each other, as to say. So there's a reason for that. There's retail processes in place that have been done for years to make sure you walk the store. So you get that impulse buying. Obviously, with micro-fulfillment, impulse buying goes away, but that's another issue. So by doing that automation, you speed up the time. So not only am I still delivering locally, but I'm doing it more quickly, as opposed to I can be quick and still do that local delivery. And as more people want to do that sort of local ordering, speed is always going to come in because certain companies have trained us to expect overnight, one day, 2 day. That has driven a lot of behavior.
We're talking about many ways sustainability is being addressed today, but what challenges still remain? Sierra, what should we keep in mind?
So one of the biggest challenges for sustainability is just how the whole process is not very clear. While you can control your outbound packaging, sometimes you're not controlling the products that are coming in, and you can't necessarily control the sustainability of your supplier. So I think having a more holistic view of the whole supply chain and working in together is going to be the biggest challenge in making sure that we're meeting all sustainability goals, and it's not just in one step or kind of a superficial sustainability. So if you are able to find the connection and work closely with your suppliers, if you have a good relationship with your suppliers, you're able to work a little bit closer on those sustainability goals.
How can leaders embed sustainability into their decision-making to ensure these goals are being met?
So if you're trying to embed sustainability into your decision-making, it needs to be a part of your company culture. You need to have it as, instead of just something you're checking off and it's your checkbox that you have to meet for the day or the week or the quarter, it needs to be something that you and your company, which are all of the employees, understand the why. So why are we doing this? What is the impact that we're making? Because once you understand the why, then you're a lot more willing and it's a lot easier to just automatically include that in your daily decisions.
That's a great recommendation. Cameron, as we wrap this conversation up, do you have any general recommendations for supply chain leaders who want to go greener, but without sacrificing operational performance, agility, or speed?
I think there's a lot of ways. A lot of it is by selecting the right type of material, selecting something that is either like PCR that's already been recycled and is being reused. That's one way where you don't have literally any difference in speed. Others are just around other types of materials that are being made and sourced and just subbing in one thing for another, right? You're not moving and saying, okay, this is going to be detrimental to our overall throughput of the facility. It's like, no, we're just going to use a paper product rather than using a plastic product. Majority of the time, that is not causing any kind of bottlenecks and there's no hard choices that need to be made. They're just subbing out materials and you kind of just keep moving and keep going. So there's also other ways too. I would say some packaging automation, for example, where it's actually much faster, right? You've got an individual that is capable of packaging about 45 cartons per hour on their own, right? So just over a minute for every single one of these, which is not fast. And there's packaging equipment that exists out there that can do a package every 6 seconds, right? You just need to make sure you know how to feed packages into the packaging automation cell. And if you can do that effectively, then you're actually going much quicker. That gives you a lot more bandwidth. Plus, it's a lot more labor friendly. You don't have 80 to 100 packing stations that can exist in some of these large retail e-commerce type warehouses. So we can really reduce that, make it cheaper, make it faster, make it more sustainable.
So through right-sized packaging, automation, electric vehicles, local sourcing, and micro-fulfillment, organizations are finding practical ways to reduce emissions while improving speed and efficiency. What's especially powerful is that many of these solutions don't slow operations down, they actually strengthen them. Automation increases throughput, smarter packaging reduces waste and transportation needs, and bringing inventory closer to customers shortens both delivery times and the carbon footprint. I'd like to thank Andy, Cameron, and Sierra for joining me, and I'd like to thank you, our audience, for tuning in to this episode. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey. And don't forget, you can learn more about building agility into your thinking and your operations as you explore the latest supply chain trends, tech, and solutions at MODEX 2026 this April in Atlanta.